Hey everyone, it's Jordan from SleekLens.com and welcome to, I believe it's the 43rd episode of the Sleek Lens Photography Podcast. Thank you all for coming back and joining me in this podcast. And today I'm very excited to kind of talk about a subject that is very near and dear to my heart, and that is real estate photography. I am primarily a real estate photographer, so I wanted to kind of talk about real estate photography as in, there's people out there who kind of want to get into photography, and they don't really prefer weddings or taking portraits or anything like that. So they might be looking for a specific field to try to hone in and try to develop their style. And a lot of people actually pass over real estate photography. Now, I'm not saying if you don't enjoy taking pictures of rooms or buildings or something like that, or architecture, then this is probably still not going to be the right field for you. But real estate photography is kind of one of those untapped markets. It's kind of growing in popularity now, more popular than it used to be. But now when people are looking for those real estate photographers, those guys that really just do real estate photography and really nothing else, this time of the era here is actually what is actually going on. People are looking for those types of photographers all over the place. So it is becoming sort of a bigger deal. So what I want to talk about in this particular episode are some very simple tips for getting started in real estate photography. There's going to be a lot of simple things. Just for example, number one, obviously you're going to probably need to use a tripod. That is the first tip. There's not a lot of real estate photographers out there that go in and just hand hold it all the time. Even if you're very experienced in flash photography, you're not going to find those who just go in there and have the camera strapped around their neck, go into a building and start shooting photos. You're really not going to find that. So a tripod is obviously a big deal, but it's going to be tips similar to that when it comes to getting started in real estate photography. And I'm really psyched about this topic. So again, let's go and jump into it and start talking about these cool tips for getting started in real estate photography if you've actually thought about that before. All right. So as I mentioned, using a tripod is probably the first tip that you're actually going to hear a lot of real estate photographers say. And that's because you want to make sure you have a really steady surface, a really steady platform to be able to do all the kinds of techniques when it comes to taking photos that you can. You have HDR, you have flash, you have doing a flambient shot, which is combining an ambient shot and a flash shot together. It's going to be very hard to do a lot of that if you don't have a tripod, especially a really sturdy one. A lot of people think going to the local big box store and buying a $20 tripod that's made of probably the cheapest aluminum possible, that is gonna suffice, and it's not going to. You're gonna need a really, really sturdy tripod, preferably one with a gear head, because using a gear head will allow you to make those really fine tune adjustments. If you have a ball head tripod by chance, you're gonna find that you have what's called a slump in your when you're dialing in your tripod there. You twist the knob to tighten down the ball head, and you might feel your tripod or your camera kind of weigh down a little bit or kind of start flipping forward a little bit. Not much where it just falls off the tripod, obviously, but just kind of slump forward, and you don't want that. Using a gear head tripod will allow you to dial in those specific adjustments and really keep it sturdy, straight, and dependable. So using a good, solid tripod is definitely the way to go. Now, I talked about this topic just a second ago when I was talking about the tripod, but let's go ahead and mention the elephant in the room when it comes to almost everything real estate photography, and that is HDR. A lot of people, even though HDR is kind of out of its crazy phase now, where people have those really over super processed HDRs, people don't really do that as much anymore, and that's for good reason, because it doesn't look good. Let's talk about HDR real quick. First of all, HDR is, for those of you don't know, and probably should know because it's a very popular technique, but basically what it does is a very simple way of explaining it is you take a underexposed image, which exposes for the highlights. You take a neutral exposure, which is just a general neutral exposure that kind of balances out the highlights and the shadows, and then you take in overexpose adjustments, which kind of exposes the shadow area, and you run it through a program. A lot of people say the Photomatics program is probably one of the good ones to use, something like that, but actually I found Lightroom to be very helpful with it because Lightroom does have a built-in HDR function. You take those three separate images and you run it through a program, and it does its little HDR magic and allows you to further edit the photo, being able to bring out all of the shadow detail, the highlight detail, and get a really well exposed image using HDR. Now, a lot of people will kind of poo-poo HDR because it is a very well-known technique and a technique that a lot of real estate photographers actually use. I use it a lot because for a lot of the types of jobs that I particularly do, the houses that I particularly shoot are not the super million-dollar homes, the homes that are going to sell for million dollars, and the agent's going to make out a whole bunch of money. The types of homes that I shoot are these really kind of everyday homes, you know, get in there, get out as fast as possible. So the easiest way to do that is actually to do HDR, bracket the exposures, and then take them home and start editing the photos. That's the easiest way to do it. But what you will find is a lot of people say that when you shoot HDR, you kind of get this certain look. And it has its ups and it has its downs, but you kind of get this certain look, and you're not going to get those kind of clients that those high-end clients, those clients that you really get when you start doing different techniques, like doing window pulls where you bring in the crisp detail of the outside of the window with the balanced exposure of the inside. So you're starting to develop a skill there once you start doing more flash stuff. But for general all around everyday real estate photography, HDR is actually a pretty easy way to go. So I mentioned that Lightroom does have a really great HDR function. That's the primary one that I particularly use because it's built into Lightroom. That's where all the catalogs goes as far as my photos go. And it doesn't do that over processed look, and it basically just combines the data and then gives you the photo to edit it further. So for a lot of examples, about 85% of the time, HDR is going to do the job for you. So now let's talk about combining flash with your photography. So if you're not familiar with flash, what you want to do is, as bad as it might sound, go ahead and get your flash out and start practicing in your own home when it comes to using a flash. So first of all, pop the camera. When I'm talking about flash, let me reiterate this. I'm not talking about the pop-up flash on your camera body. If you have a pop-up flash, do not use that. It will not look good at all. It will not look flattering. That is just the sign of an amateur. There is just you using a pop-up flash, especially for real estate photography, because it will give you those unflattering results. But if you happen to have an external flash, one where the head of the flash can actually pivot and move, you could actually take that flash and point it directly up from your camera, point it directly at the ceiling, you know, hoping you have a white ceiling that's above you, point it directly at the ceiling and start playing in manual mode with the exposure settings. So you can take your ISO and maybe bump your ISO up to, let's start at 320. If you have a camera that goes to 320, go ahead and set it to 320. Set your exposure, your aperture exposure to, let's say, aperture 7 or 8, somewhere around there, and start playing with the shutter speed to see what kind of exposure settings you might get with your flash. This is how I started trying to learn flash, is going into my home and popping up a bunch of flashes and seeing what the results were. That's kind of how you start learning flash. Now, a lot of people do what they call a flambient. A flambient is where you take a flash shot and an ambient shot and you mix them together. That is a very popular technique when it comes to kind of the next step when it comes to real estate photography, is doing a flambient shot. You get really cool exposures. You get really cool results. You get fast results, but you actually get more realistic results, more realistic color tones in your images. You actually are able to pull in more of the outside detail in the windows if you use flash, hoping you have a very powerful flash where you can kind of balance out that exposure. But you get what I mean. You can start combining these two kind of flashes together and get this really cool technique, start developing this really cool technique of actually taking the photos, bring them into Photoshop, and painting in the areas that you want to that you want to kind of bring in. So those are kind of the basics of getting into real estate photography as far as that goes. But let's talk about gear real quick. I talked about the flashes that you might need, obviously the tripod. When it comes to the camera, there's actually two sides of the fence when it comes to what kind of camera you should use. When it comes to real estate photography, almost every camera will do. Almost every camera nowadays that it's, you know, out in the stores, it'll most likely do the job. Even if you have a very entry-level camera that's a crop sensor camera, it'll most likely do the job. Not a point-and-shoot or anything like that. Any camera that has pretty much an interchangeable lens will allow you to do the job. You do need a relatively wide-angle lens. A lot of people think that you should get the widest-angle lens that you can, which is obviously going to help. But what you're really looking for is a very quality lens, one that has relatively low barrel distortion, which means the image won't bow in as much, which you can really tell when you're looking at a subject that has very straight lines. You want to make sure that you have a very good lens that doesn't have a lot of vignetting as well, even though that can be corrected in post. It's just one of those other things that you have to worry about later. You want to make sure you have a good quality piece of glass. Again, the camera can do almost do anything. But it's actually sometimes beneficial for kind of everyday shoots when it comes to real estate. It's actually almost beneficial to have a crop sensor camera. And the reason is because number one, they're cheaper to get into. The lenses are cheaper. And also the file size is much lower. So, let's take the HDR example that I was talking about, where you take these three exposures and you bring them into, bring them into Lightroom, put them in your Lightroom catalog. If you shoot a house and you want to have 30 photos that you call the final photos, and you take three photos for each of that 30 final photo that you have, you're going to have 90 photos that are in your catalog, and 60 of them are going to be not usable because you only use them to create the HDR image. So if you want to kind of save on file size, save on hard drive disk space, that would be the way to go. But obviously, if you're getting these really high-end clients about doing architectural photos, designer work, stuff like that, you might want to have a camera with a higher megapixel count, just because the clients might want to use them for different purposes other than online. They might want to print them, and they might need a higher quality version. Some people actually want to print billboards as a example of showing maybe a subdivision that's moving into town or something like that, and they have these cool photos that are on the billboard. Obviously, they need to print them a little bit higher, but pretty much almost any camera will do when starting out in real estate photography. All right, so now let's talk about the editing portion here. Mainly I want to cover some really quick ideas for getting, number one, consistent results, and number two, getting a very quick turnaround time when it comes to your real estate images. So when it comes to realistic results and very quality results all the time, one thing I would definitely recommend is using presets when you're developing your photo in Lightroom. You don't necessarily have to buy a bunch of presets to do this. You can actually create them on your own. But what you can do is create a preset for all the little details that you always have to do. So for example, I actually have a preset that's in my Lightroom catalog right now, and I'm going to show you or kind of tell you exactly what that preset does so you can see the kind of examples of why you might use this. So when I import an image into my Lightroom catalog, there's always, you know, a handful of sliders that I want to touch with this image. So I know, number one, I want to bump up the contrast and bump up the exposure just a little bit. I want to bump those up just a tad bit, just because I know most of the time when I shoot the images, there could be a glare coming off of something that might throw off the white balance throw up the exposure. I could have a window that is like maybe a small window that's throwing it off or something like that. So I'm just going to bump up the exposure, bump up the contrast, maybe about plus five or so. I'm always going to decrease the highlights and increase the shadows just a little bit as well. I'm going to bump up the clarity, and I'm also going to apply the lens profiles and the chromatic aberration under the lens correction tab there. And then I'm also going to apply the auto transform. And what the auto transform does is it kind of detects the lines in your image to kind of straighten them up a little bit. That is a killer feature that's in Lightroom, and that really saves a lot of time trying to correct those kind of converging lines, the verticals, because it, you know, that's one telltale sign of a kind of amateur photographer are their lines skewed in, or does it look like the room is kind of like a fun room where the room is kind of bowing in or bowing out. The auto align feature is a great, great feature. It does take away a little bit of the image, obviously, because it has to crop down, a little bit of the image, but it's a great feature. So those are the kind of handful of things that I do to every photo. So when I import my photo, I will go ahead and import them in, and I will apply that preset upon import. You can actually do that in Lightroom. You can say, when I import these photos, apply this preset to every photo, and it's going to do that, and it's done. So by the time you're in your Lightroom catalog, ready to kind of take all your photos and start editing your photos, that main bulk of the work is already done for you. So that's one quick way to get consistent results. And also, when it comes to a quick turnaround time, when it comes to the world of real estate, you really want to have a very quick turnaround time. These realtors are trying to get the listing up as fast as possible. They want to get the house on the market so they can get paid. And what you're doing is trying to help them do that. So getting the house on the market is kind of key. And getting a quick turnaround time for all your images is very important. It's not like a wedding photographer where you get done with the wedding and you have, 2 weeks or a week or something like that to play with the images. You know, you probably need around a 24-hour turnaround time, or even less if possible, to get them the images as much as possible, as fast as possible. And a preset will actually do that and kind of get you along the way of getting the images done quick. So those are just some quick basics of getting started in real estate photography. Probably going to do another podcast on this because it's one of those podcasts and subjects that can be talked about, almost indefinitely. It's just one of those really great topics, especially for those of you who are kind of struggling on, you want to do photography and kind of a full-time thing, but you can't figure out exactly what field to go in. And maybe you do like taking photos of buildings and stuff like that, and you really enjoy that, but you don't really know how to actually get into that business and what exactly you might need. So that is a really kind of quick overview of what you might need to get into the real estate photography business. Now, what I wanted to talk about here is we actually partnered up with a real estate photographer out of Canada, and his name is Matthew Stallone, and he runs a business called Stallone Media. And he is a premier real estate photographer, and he actually partnered up with us to record a 15-video course for starting and kind of getting into that really high-end real estate photography business. So in that course, he's going to show you the types of flash units and transmitters you might need to kind of start developing your style outside of HDR photography. Then he talks about some different compositional elements and showing you how to edit those. In the kind of interior section, he talks about the flash and ambient combination that we talked about here, showing you exactly how to do that and put those together. He's also going to show you some light painting techniques, which we didn't even talk about in this podcast, but they are very, very cool techniques where you basically take a series of maybe, 10, 11, 12 images or so. You take those and do individual pops of flash in the areas that you want to highlight in the final image. And you combine all those in Photoshop. He shows you how to do that to create a really, really awesome, awesome image. That's a really fun video to watch, and it shows you the editing. You actually get the files as well, so you can follow along and kind of learn the way he does it. And then he shows you some exterior techniques as well. So he shows you how to make a twilight photo kind of just using one photo. He's going to show you how to do the colors and contrast of the image. He's going to show you all of that stuff when it comes to doing a simple, simple twilight. So some really great techniques, and he's also going to show you the differences, kind of what I talked about here, of the differences between HDR photography and flash photography. So there's a lot covered in this course, and again, you get all of the files here. You probably do need a little bit of Lightroom knowledge and a little bit of Photoshop knowledge as well, but again, he'll show you all that you need to know when it comes to editing these photos. So if you want to check out the Mastering Real Estate Photography course that we partnered up with him and kind of give that a look and see what you might find and see what you might like about that course, link in the description in the podcast notes. You're going to see that information there. And also, if you want to pick it up and kind of get a discount here, use the coupon code RECourse20. So letter R, letter E, Word Course altogether 20, and you get 20% off of the course, and you can kind of start viewing it online there and watching all the videos right away. So it's a really great course. I really highly recommend it. I shoot real estate a lot all the time, and I even learned a lot just by watching this course as well. So really great stuff there. If you want to check it out, again, link in the podcast show notes. All right, guys, thank you for joining me in this week's podcast. Again, I was really stoked about recording this one, and it was really fun, but maybe we'll talk about it again in the future. But thank you guys for joining me in this week's podcast, and we'll see you in the next one.